Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Would you please turn your Bible to the Old Testament Psalm, Psalm 46, if we could also project it on the screen. And here's what we're going to do, if you don't mind. I would ask you to read this along in a responsive way. I'm going to read the odds number, the odds verses, starting at verse 1. And would you please, congregation, read the even numbers? So we will read this. And if you have, were so busy this week that you didn't get a chance to open your Bible, this is your chance to catch up, all right? So I will read the odd verses, and you would please read the even verses. And we will read the last verse 11 together at the end. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Summer of 1980, my whole family were praying out loud to God to save us, because we were right under the hurricanes. The buildings surrounding were collapsing, including the church building was built with bricks. Strong building had just had collapsed to all the way down to the ground. And at the building that the house that we were living on, we could see the roofs. Up open air, the roofs tearing apart, the windows were coming off. We could literally feel all the wind and the rains soaking our bodies. So we didn't know what to do as a family, just grab the floor mats and putting on top of our heads, praying for our lives that God will save us. I would say that God answered that prayer. Otherwise, I would not be here today. It happened that not only God answered our prayers, my grandfather, who lived with us, was a dairy farmer, and he owned about 15 cows and goats and other animals. So we lost all our animals, all his treasures, possessions, and so we told the church people that because of the storm, we lost them all. And you know what? The church people came together and helped us out so that we could get back on our feet, and my grandfather received his cows back. It might not be the same colors or same shapes, but we got like 20 cows or over the numbers at more than animals that he owned. And God restored our lives. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Do you hear that? That God, the Almighty God, not just a God that is somebody thought of and just come up with a great idea or just some sort of philosophy or a good idea, but a living God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. the God who created you and I. The God who made all things and didn't just leave it there, but be a part of the creation, involving in it, sustaining them, giving it life, and making all things beautiful. That God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. In order to say that God is our refuge, friends, you and I must trust in this God. So we ask, who is this God? God. Who is this God? Who is God? The scripture says there's several names for God, but in this particular context, in Psalm 46, God is the Almighty God. God is the Almighty God. God rules the world. He has control over everything, literally everything. The sovereignty of God, His strength, His power. A God who is able, a God who can do anything. All-powerful, ever-present, all-knowing, all-seeing. God is with us. No, it's not a grammatical mistake, but I'm going to ask you to do something right now. Please, would you please turn to your neighbor and look in the face. Just look around and just say this. God is for us a refuge and strength. Could you do that? Would you turn over to your neighbor? God is for us a refuge and strength. God is for you. God is for us. That powerful, that almighty God is not just, doesn't just have a neutral power that to show off His power, glory, His splendor, but the God, the Almighty God is for you and for you and for all of us. Amen? God is for us. And the assurance, the affirmation of faith in the second line of that verse 1, it said, an ever-present what? Help. An ever-present help in what? Trouble. So I'm going to go from the directions of the power of the positive thinking people, okay? It's wonderful to have positive mind, positive thinking. It's not wrong to have positive attitudes. It's awesome stuff. But the scripture promises in Psalm 46, it says this. It says, imagine the worst possible scenario. Imagine the worst thing could ever happen to you, to your family, to your friends, and to your community, to your church. That's what the psalmist is saying. Imagine the worst thing could ever happen to you. Like the 10.0 magnitude of earthquake. Like the 5-class hurricane. In verse 2 it said, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The place that we feel secure most when troubled water arise, that the place that we will find seek for refuge and strength would come down to the heart of the sea. Even when those things are happening, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, though the cosmic chaos around you is happening, the promise of God, the living God, is this. Verse 2, the invitation for all of us is this. Therefore, knowing that God is our refuge and strength. What does verse 2 begin with? We will not fear. That is an invitation from God. And a promise, by the way. A promise that God will be with us even when that cosmic chaos around us is happening. You can trust God. You can have the confidence and the knowledge that God is powerful, mighty to get you through it. Can we say amen? Amen. God is the Almighty God. So He is for us a refuge and strength. Not only that, He is our help. Yesterday, I made a mistake of introducing my 27-month-old daughter to a public swimming pool. First, she said, "I just want to get my feet wet." That's what she said. "I just want to put my feet in there." Then she stepped on the first step of the swimming pool. Then she was having so much fun that she wanted to make the second step down, which is the shallow area, which is 3 feet tall, the front part of the pool. This is a public swimming pool. And she was having fun, and I did tell her mom that she might get wet in the water, so she dressed her appropriately. But then she went down the second step, and she was a blast, and, you know, 6 words came out of her mouth without me coaching it. And the 6 words that came out of my daughter's mouth were, "I love to be in America." Yeah, those are 6 words. That's what she said. Not one time, but 3 times. I'm like, yes, yes, me too. And we were having fun. Then all of a sudden, her hand slips, because she was having so much fun, and I was all rejoicing that my daughter could say one English sentence correctly. And all of a sudden, my right hand slipped, and I was for sure putting all my strength on my left hand to make sure my daughter doesn't get drowned. And I grabbed her and said, "Emily, don't you care that you might get hurt?" Because she was wobbling and struggling and becoming the boneless stuff, and so I was lecturing her at that moment, because a teachable moment, I said, "Don't you care if you were drowned?" Then preparing for this message, remember the story. Remember the story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Remember the disciples of Jesus Christ. They were in the boat with a Savior of the world. This is what Mark chapter 4, 35, 41 says. "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" When Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side," guess what, folks? We are going to get to the other side, right? Here's a given already. Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. "Just as he was in a boat, there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, taking a nap." That's not in the verse. "The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we are drowned?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Who is this? Who is this God that even the wind and the waves obey him? Let me ask you, friends, what are the winds and the waves in your life, in your personal life, at your workplace, at your home, in your relationship, the chaos that are going around you? Remember that we have a God, not just powerful on his own. He is the Almighty God, whom the wind and the waves obey. That Almighty God is for you. Would you remember that? Would you draw strength from that? Strength, knowing that God rules the world. His power not only lies in creating the heavens and the earth, but also he is involved in your lives. He is in control of your situations. Like me, from time to time, when we think that our loved ones, the people who we count on and who we think could help us, don't care. We got panic, and that panic causes us from thinking that those people do not care. And we can do the same thing with God. When we go through situations and difficult circumstances, problems beyond our control, we too can say, God, don't you care that we are going to drown? There are so many people in the world who said no to God for that experience alone, that they felt that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love them, that God is not for them. Friends, the good news of the psalm precisely is this: God is for us. Not only God is for us, God is a life-giving streams of living river, living water that make the city glad. Verse 4, there is, of chapter 46 of Psalm, verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Imagine God being a life-giving river. God, the Almighty God, not only rescue you, help you, and guide you when you are in trouble, when we are in trouble. He cares about us so much that he wants to see us do well in life, in our relationship, at our work, at our service, in all things, that we will have life, life to abundant. And that's the promise of God that will be with us here in this city. In this context is Jerusalem, a city where it says they have no river running in the city, but and yet God could be count as a life-giving river. But in our city, in our place, in our waters, in our storm, God is not only our protector, our security, but he is life. He is a life giver. And then it's interestingly, when this verse talked about the cosmic chaos, the natural disaster, thinking about the worst possible scenarios, and that God is still in charge, God is in control, then when you move down to verse 6 of chapter 46, it says that there are some kind of threats that faces us, faces all of us. It said nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. Did you hear that? A different kind of chaos. A chaos that involved other nations. Oh, I don't know what would it have been like in those days. Maybe they were thinking about the nations or kingdoms that came and attacked Israel and Jerusalem. But for us this day, friends, we think about international threats, international uproars, like ISIS, like terrorists, like nuclear winter. Think of the worst possible uproar around the world. And that's what it's saying here in verse 6. Nations are at uproar, kingdoms fall. But God lifts his voice, his word, and the earth melts. Even in the midst of international chaos or national chaos, God, his word, will carry us through. His word is all that we need. His promise, his living word, will overcome all things. The earth melts. He satisfies all things. He makes all things right. How do I know that? Look at verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with who? With us. The Lord Almighty is with us. It's hard to know, hard to believe, and even hard to live it out or respond in faith, to be affirmed by this word that God Almighty is with us in our personal and our cosmic chaos, or even in national chaos, in our worst possible situation, that the Lord Almighty is with us. And that's precisely what God promised you and I this morning through his word, that God is with you. So knowing that fact, knowing that good news, what is the invitation? Look at verse 8. Knowing that God Almighty is with us, what is the invitation and what should be our response? Verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolation he has brought on the earth. Verse 9, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Our God is the God of peace. He's the Lord of hosts. He's a warrior, but the one who makes peace. The Prince of Peace, the King of Peace, this King who rules over all the earth. His works in your lives, in my lives. What are the works of the Lord? Maybe it is a miracle that relationships are reconciled. Maybe it's a miracle that someone could say, I would believe in a God of Almighty. I would follow Christ. The works of the Lord. The beauty all around us. Observe, pay attention, and participate in that works. Because God's works is being done through who? Through us. Amen? So we do good works, folks. We do good works. Not because we want to earn God's favor. We do good works because we love God. Amen? We feed the hunger in Jesus' name because we love God. We collect shoes and put shoes on the feet of children because we love God. We use our buildings for our community so that it could be used for the glory of God through doing good works. Our young people go on a mission trip, which I just heard from Elizabeth that they were 1 hour away from getting there, right? Elizabeth, somewhere here? Yes, yesterday, so they are there. So they might not have Wi-Fi. So they're there already, perhaps serving and eating roadkills and all the good stuff. And taking cold showers. All the wonderful things. Other serving God. So the young people are doing wonderful things, serving God, getting in missions, because this is the work of the Lord. Not because we want to be righteous or perfect or earn the favor of God, but because we love God and we trust in his work. And we get engaged in his work. We sing, we serve in church, we help others in Jesus' name. That's because we love God. His work, come and see the invitation. Come and see what the Lord has done. Will you do that today when you go home? Will you show that to your families, your neighbors, tomorrow on Monday, Tuesday, to your co-workers, to your neighborhood, and say, come and see what the Lord has done. May they also respond by saying, aha, yes, I want what you want. Amen. The works of the Lord are good and beautiful and is life-giving. Not harmful, not threatening, but peaceful. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. So then what should be our action, knowing that God is powerful, God is loving and caring, and we could count on him and that he is trustworthy, what will be our ultimate response? Verse 10, would you look at that? Verse 10 on Psalm 46. God says, what? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among what? The nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, to be still is hard to do. To be still when the ground beneath you that you're standing is cracking or breaking apart, and that the mountains are melting and coming down to the heart of the sea, metaphorically speaking, figuratively speaking, spiritually speaking, it's hard to do, but that's precisely God is asking us. Knowing that God is powerful and that he is in control. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Not me, not our government, not our leaders of the church or community, as wonderful as they are, but rather the Almighty God. That he will be exalted among the nation. No matter what happened, God is sovereign, he's in control. And that he knows about you. And that you can count on his name. His reign. God will reign over you. His kingdom will last forever. I will exalt it among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I know, to be still is hard. Even for me, especially with 5 cups of coffee at 8 o'clock in the morning. Or maybe some of you who own pets will know that it's hard. I just want to use some analogy here to describe the illustrations to describe my last point. It is hard to be still, even if all those troubles are not going around you. Simply, it is hard to be still. And I will describe by this. How many of you here happen to be owner of pets like dogs? How many of you own dogs? All right? Do you own dogs that just stay still? Probably not. Dogs are, in by nature, they're excited, right? They're always excited, If you're a dog's owner, you would know that when you come home, especially from a far away, you've been gone away from home for a long time, and your dogs will greet at you at the door and say, I'm so excited, I'm glad you're home. And they will shake in the door and say, I want to show you what I have done while you're away. Come and see the couch. And the dogs will do that because they're joyful or they're excited about life or they got distracted. But simply, they live life and they couldn't really care about anything else. Because dogs, in natural, in my opinion, are joyful. Now, cat's owner, on the other hand, how many of cat's lovers here in the building? And I don't want to lose you. There's one hand there. Praise God for you, all right? Praise God for you. Cats are lovely. But I've never seen cats jumping up and down, excitedly smiling. But the cats that I know are always lying on the couch. And if you try to take away from their couch, they'll be like, meow, I was here first. It's my place, right? Am I right, cat owners? Okay, no, some of you disagree with me. All right, some of you might write me a letter and saying my cat is a Presbyterian. Cats, in my opinions, are not usually upbeat, or they are somewhat calm, right? That's how I absorb, because I have babysit cats for 10 days. I said yes to a friend, and I happened to agree without thinking it too hard, I happened to agree to babysit or cat sit for 10 days, and that cat was never the same again. But she loved bacons, though. But cats, in a way that they show this calmness and still. And that's the best illustration I can come up with in this hot heat summertime, folks. That cats remain calm, and yet they are there. They know you are there. They know you care for them. They know that you are their servants. You are there to serve them, all right? I don't want to get down on the cats' lovers too much. But cats, I feel like they're calm, they're cool, and no matter what happened, they seem to be in control. But I don't mean to say that we ought to be like dogs or cats, but rather, no matter what happened, no matter what we're going through emotionally, spiritually, physically, know that you can remain calm. Don't panic. That's all I could say. Don't panic. Don't panic. Panic can stop us from knowing that God loves us. Panic can stop us from trusting God, the Almighty God, who is able to do anything. Don't be in despair. Why? Verse 11. Not because a dog or a cat is with you, but rather verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Say it with me one more time. Verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The disciples ask, who is this? Even the wind and the wave obey him. That is the Savior who died for you and I. That is the Savior who left everything of his nature in heaven. His royalty became one like us, so that John could say, the Word became what? Flesh and dwell among us. Jesus is in your neighborhood. Jesus is in your community. Jesus is in your messes, your problems, your troubles. And he is messing with us, not in a bad way. He's messing with us so that we can call him our refuge, our strength, our help in trouble. You better believe it. Thanks be to God. Amen.